This is Heaton Shaw.
And this is Stelly Efty. And in today's episode of The Startup Chat, we will talk about friendship and business.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Done. Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah, we want you to do your best.
Or friendship in general, friends. So I just suggested this topic to Heaton, and he was just like, friendship. I love it. I don't know what we're going to talk about, but let's do it. I love it. So here's why I want to talk about this, why this is something that's on my mind right now. There's many reasons, but so two things. One, I think over the last few years, I've realized, and I think I'm not alone, this is kind of an age thing, as I've built up a family and have children now and all that, but I've maintained friendships that I had with people that I grew up with, although they don't live very close by, but I try to like meet them a few times a year. We go on a vacation together. I just recently went on a vacation in Thailand with two friends of mine for over 15 years. I increasingly realized the value of friendship. I increasingly realized something that I think a lot of people do in later stages in their lives, which is that it's hard to build friendship later in life, like true deep friendship. It's easy when you're young.
Hang on.
Yes.
I don't want to believe what you just said.
All right. We'll talk about this in a second. But my framework is that I think when you're very young, you just grow up, there's an amazing amount of time that you can devote to spending time with other people and experiencing things and figure out who you are and building these bonds. Later with work and family and children and things like that, the time just decreases. So you meet people, but usually the relationships and experiences and the time together is much more superficial. It doesn't go as deep typically. And then talking to my mom, and we did an episode just recently about our parents, just talking to my mom recently, seeing how at later stages in life, at least for her, you know, she doesn't have a partner. Her children have grown out of the house. In a few years, she's going to be, you know, retirement age. And now one of her best friends has moved back to Greece and another friend of hers died. And she doesn't have enough friends, that quality friends that she wants to spend time with. So I was talking with her mother about that challenge. And then this is one thing that's going on. And the other thing that's going on is, and we've talked about this before, this one, a really good friend of mine starting a business with a really good friend and the challenges they have. Another thread is like a guy that thought he's a really good friend with somebody, and then that person copied parts of their business, so now they're really hating each other. Just seeing all these threats around friendship. So it's just something on my mind. Like, there's no concrete problem I have here, but it's just something that I started thinking about a lot more and being like, it's such an important thing in life, and it's such an interesting topic, and let's talk about it. Like, that's where I'm coming from.
Awesome.
So you said the whole thing with like later in life, it's harder to develop really good friends. You're like, I don't want to believe that. Let's jump right into that for a second.
I think if you, it's just part of like, I think self-defeating beliefs in a way, right? Which is like, I can't get my heart to believe that I can't make deep, meaningful friendships later in life. And part of it is just being inspired, right? So my father got married at 60 again. I know your mother had a relationship for a while too, right? At an older age, similar thing. Yeah. Didn't get married, fine. Yeah. But like, and you know, I've seen it. I've just seen it.
Yeah.
And like, I know like you and I, we didn't grow up together.
Yeah.
Right? I consider you a friend.
Yeah.
I mean, we do this thing together. It's cool. But like,
But
you know, okay. So it's like, so, are you sure?
Yes.
Like, really? Like,
so let's talk about this, right? Because I don't think it's not possible. Yeah. I think it's very much possible. Yeah. And when I talked to my mom, I had a whole speech on like 60 to, I'm like 60 to 90, that's 30 years of life. That's my entire existence on this planet. This is what you have in front of you. Yeah. Everything is possible. Like, you can live a lot of fucking life in that time. Yeah. Find friends, find a partner,
whatever.
Do whatever you want, right? So I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
But I do think it takes effort and investment and energy, right? And I think that when you...
It was easier earlier?
Because that investment...
Just by environment.
Because that investment is not even an effort. It's just the way that everything you do is basically just hang out with other people.
Once you have a family, your friends are your family.
Yeah.
Right? And then the other friends are other friends.
Yeah.
Unless you all make the effort.
And with our friendship,
yeah.
I consider this a prime example for this.
Yeah.
Because if we didn't create this format,
we would
still kind of on a, like, I think from the first moment we felt a connection, right? And we felt that there's something kindred spirit here, but how much would we have known about each other? How would we feel about each other if we just met twice for a coffee, right? We'd be like, I really like this guy, but today I can say I really consider you a friend and I feel very strongly about you, right? And our relationship, but we spend every week we spend some time together and we talk about things with each other that we don't talk about with many other people. So that created the space. Absolutely. I'd never used the word it's not possible or impossible. Yeah. I said it's harder, I think. Yeah, okay. It takes more effort.
I can't argue and give you anything except I just keep trying.
And also just personally, there's like little things that pop up. Like I know that when I was younger, I was socially lazy to a certain extent. I still have that where if somebody invited me to a birthday or to a wedding or to something that was inconvenient for me to participate in, I'd be like, do I really want to go there? Yeah, do I really have to do this? Yeah. And then I have this one friend of mine who is an amazing example of taking friendships so serious that doesn't matter how inconvenient it is. If you invite him to something, he'll show up. Like, he doesn't have family. He's very young. And I was just telling my wife yesterday, the dude showed up for the last 3 birthdays of my children to children parties where to like take the train on a Sunday from San Francisco down, take his bike, ride for like 30 minutes, and then show up as a single to hang out with a bunch of children at a children party. And I didn't make a big invitation or a big fuss. And he knows that I don't really care. Like, I totally respect him not showing up. Yeah. But he's like, this is Stelly. He's a friend. His child's birthday, I'm showing up. And I admire that because I see that. Awesome. So, and this plays into like this weekend, a friend and somebody that worked for me is moving out and he's a big party. And I don't want to go to San Francisco Saturday night. I don't want to go to this like go away party because I'm lazy.
That's right.
But I'm like, I want to invest more time in these relationships and I admire people that do. So
I hear you.
Let's switch for a second on the track here and talk about friendship within business.
Yeah.
We know that business is a lot about like personal relationships. I'm very good friends with everybody that works here, but with my co-founders, they're some of my best friends.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of benefit in having strong personal relationships, not just pure business relationships with people, but there's also complexity that comes with that, right?
Yeah.
Maybe if you just work with someone in a business level, you're much more rational when you make a decision to let them go if they don't perform, right? When somebody's a really good friend of yours, harder to do, harder to pull off.
Yeah.
When you're really good friends, we could be really good friends and we share all the information. All of a sudden, you move into a competitive space of mine. Yeah. What does that mean? Did you betray me? How do you think about friendship in business, both in like hiring people, co-founding with people, or just having friends that run other businesses that today are not competitive, but tomorrow could be?
Yeah.
Like, how do you think about that? Have you ever thought about that? What's kind of, let's talk about the friendship and business aspect in specific.
I think if you're doing business long enough, you have to think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had an interesting thing happen recently. So we were a very small product and engineering team at QuickSprout. It's like 5 people. Mm-hmm. Do I count myself in that? I don't count myself in that currently.
Okay.
And one person left. Mm-hmm. He decided he didn't want to continue, and it's a really small team. And I had a realization. There's only one other person left like him on the team that I can say I'm not their friend.
Mm.
Like, not that I am their friend or I'm not, but like, I'm not their friend. We don't know each other that well.
Yeah.
The person joined for the other people on the team. And so I actually talked to him yesterday for 30 minutes.
Mm.
And I'm like, I don't know you. The other guy left. I didn't know him either. I should know you, huh? He's like, yeah. Yeah. I was like, all right. So he asked a bunch of questions. I gave him some context and I already like him. That wasn't the problem.
Yeah.
I'm sure he likes me, right? I hope. And we're a distributed team, so we don't see each other. And I didn't even talk to him before he got hired in this case, right? Or joined the team. And so I had to hit that. That hit me pretty hard just the last 2 weeks, right? Because somebody left and like I didn't know why.
Mm.
And if somebody leaves a team that I'm on, a company that's essentially something I started and I'm running, like I want to know why.
Mm.
And if they're not my friend, I can't find out. You know, so I feel like that, right? So I think parts of what you said are totally the same thing here. I do consider Neil one of my best friends for sure. I have friends that, like, we were born within 6 months, and I've lived with the person, like, multiple times, like, in college and stuff like that. A friend is a really interesting thing. And I'm just diving into it because, like, I think you sparked something interesting there. I have a friend that, like, I used to go to him. I mean, this is a dear friend. I used to go to him and be like, yo, you know, I hung out with this person, blah, blah, blah. We've known each other a while, but hung out in person. And, ah, they're a good friend. He's like, no, they're not. He's like, just wait for a couple more times before you say that.
You say that, yeah.
Because he really considers a good friend, like, very few.
Yeah.
So.
I agree with
wanted that. To throw all that meat in there because that's a lot of interesting stuff. Because friend's an interesting word.
Friend is an interesting word. I do think, I do believe that, that also, not to make this even more complicated, but I think culturally the word means different things, right? So so I know for a fact, like in a country like Germany, the word friend is used a lot more, you know, a lot more carefully than in a place like California,
so where it's more of a, the German mentality.
Probably, right? Yeah. But I do that. Like I do make differences, and like I can say this is somebody that's a friend, and but good friend, or I might even use the same word but feel differently about people. There are people, right? Yeah. So there are people that I would help a lot, and then there's people that I would cut my arm off for, right?
That's good.
And there's a big difference. Yeah. And also, I think there's, for most people that would say I'm a friend of theirs or they're a friend of mine, I don't expect too much. Like, maybe that's because I'm a super skeptical person in general, but I'm like, I'm going to help you, but I don't necessarily bank on you needing to help me. So there's only very few people that I'm like, I would bank on this person helping me. Like, if I'm in real trouble, which means to me, the definition is I'm in real deep shit and you have to come, you have to get in some shit yourself to help me get out of it. Like, you can't help me while maintaining like a clean, like, it's not super easy for you to do without getting into some trouble yourself or some issues or some inconveniences. That's kind of the measurement of some people would only call people friends that would get into trouble to help them, or where they feel like I could tell you anything, I can completely trust you, you would never betray my trust, or you would always help me no matter what it is. I think that's also a tricky framework, to be honest, because I do believe that if you have that framework where you're like, if I'm in real deep trouble and you're a really good friend of mine, you need to come and get into real deep trouble to help me, and then if you don't, I feel really betrayed. I feel like people...
Some, I don't know if that's a real friend.
Who of the two? No.
The one who would demand it.
The one that's...
That's
so,
just my opinion.
Yeah.
Because I would never demand it of anyone, but I know who to ask.
Yeah.
I'll just do it.
Yes.
Not by me demanding it, but because they've done it before.
Yeah.
Or I just know their level of commitment to that part of the relationship, which is like the shitty part. Like, but I say that because like I'm the person where I don't care if you say no to me. If I ask you for something, but like, it's very likely you're not going to say no because I'm not going to ask. I'm not going to ask that often.
Yeah.
So that's one part of it. I think another part of it is like, yeah, I have friends where I know like they'll fly here and help me with a deep, bad situation because we've helped each other.
Yeah.
Like, and we've just done that. And maybe it was in college or something like that. Right.
Yeah.
And so I think that's it's super interesting to cut your arm off stuff. And I think that's the person. But like, you can't demand someone to cut their arm off for you.
It.
That's like indentured servitude or like you're the king or something. Right. And I think that's where friendship goes wrong.
Yeah. And I think that's where a lot of times people go, I hate this person. We were friends. And then he, you know, he deeply disappointed me because I needed this person and they weren't there for me. Or I trusted them with something and they betrayed the trust. And so it's a tricky thing, right? You're investing in something. But I do believe that if you then expect something back or you demand it, you're a shitty friend yourself.
Yeah.
It's something that just naturally either grows or it doesn't. But I think a lot of times people feel a certain way about somebody else and then they demand and need that other person to act in a very specific way at all situations. And if they don't, they feel very, very hurt, which is a very interesting thing. So let's talk about us two real quick here in the business context, right? So we're friends.
Yeah.
We how long do we really know each other? We know each other for like a year and a half. Something like that, right? So how many problems would you come to me with?
Yeah.
What is the expectation, what you would believe I would do for you or not do for you? Like, where do you rank me as a friend and how do you, how did you get there?
Yeah. So I don't like ranking people.
All right.
I don't really like competition,
right? Might have been a bad word.
No, it doesn't matter.
How do you
it doesn't matter.
Think
like,
about
I think most things that are kind of from a physical presence standpoint, I don't expect from any friend or anybody, because I won't necessarily do that for them, right? Like, go to have physical presence if they're really far away.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So I'm just baselining, right?
Yeah.
But, like, I think I can come and talk to you about any hard problem I have, regardless of if it's personal or business. I think you'll give me the kind of thoughts that will help me, right? I don't really have that many people like that. It's probably 5 to 10 at most, right? So I put you in that bucket, if that's even a bucket.
Yeah. All right. Well,
but that's, like, for anything.
Yeah.
Right. Then there's certain people I'll go to business contacts and I know they'll help, or personal contacts and it doesn't matter. Right.
Yeah.
Like my father, I'll go for personal any day.
Yeah.
Business sometimes. Right.
Yeah. That's interesting. So that's definitely something that I feel similar about. He's an interesting situation, right? Mm-hmm. So because we talk about friendship and developing friendship, there's our context has been fairly limited because it's mostly living without the recording of this podcast, right?
Yeah, that's right.
There's going to be a conference here and there.
Yeah.
Today we're going out for lunch, which is even that is something
super
we don't
rare.
Do.
Yeah.
Yeah, rare.
Yeah.
But because the chemistry is so strong, because we had a lot of good conversations, there's a lot of trust there.
Yeah.
But it's as long as that trust in my world, like I trust to talk to you about a lot of things, but I don't expect necessarily that you would never tell any of these things to somebody else, even if I told you, because I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, we haven't been put in that context before.
Yeah.
Or I don't feel like if you had, you know, a real personal issue, would you come to me? I don't know. I mean, I'd hope so, but I don't expect it necessarily because we haven't had that context.
Yeah,
so the question is, how do you build that context at this late stage in life? Because you already have the people that you would go with these deep personal problems that you had these upbringings with in the situations. So you tend to go back to the same people and you don't tend to include new people into that circle.
Yeah.
That's an interesting... That's okay, so how deep can a new friendship really develop if they're excluded from certain scenarios just by history? And by that, you have a group of people that you go with these things to, and you don't necessarily need to add more people to this list.
That's an interesting thought, because I think now this would get into probably your own personality, not yours, but everybody's,
people's,
right? And how they want to treat their friendships on that level, right? So, like, for me, I don't have any expectation that – I try not to have expectations of anybody, really. Right.
Yeah.
So then I would rate it on potential. So, for example, let's say but I'm very like, this is all on the unemotional side, let's just say. Right.
Yeah.
So it's almost like a likelihood. So what's the likelihood that Stelly's going to add value to what I'm going to ask him about?
Mm.
And so even if you're in a bucket of 10 people, there's probably a whole line of people there. Right, that I would go to first just based on likelihood that they would be helpful. Now, that also means, are they available? Am I bothering them? Right, but all these are the things that go through my mind because I'm constantly just thinking about people and my level of helpfulness versus my level of neediness.
Mm. Yeah.
I think friendships are that. Helpfulness, neediness, some scale of that, right, and the balance of that. Because some people can call me about anything, and even if it sounds needy or something, I'll entertain them because they're never needy. For example.
Yeah. How do you think about this in the context of hiring people? I know there's people that say never hire friends or family, right? Because it overcomplicates things. I've definitely hired not family. I've co-founded with my brother something, but I've never hired family to work for me, but I've worked with lots of friends.
Yeah.
And I've learned, my personal opinion is that it does add some level of complexity. It has some benefits and it has some downsides, but I had to fire childhood friends.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've figured out a way to get back and find a way, if you do it right, if you do it for the right reasons. So I'm not like a hardliner and never hire somebody that you're friends with, but I know a lot of people are in business.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
I mean, we've been talking about expectation a lot. So I just set it up front. I think that's the right thing to do when someone's joining a team that you're running, right? Just set the expectation. Say, hey, look, we're friends. That's why you're even here. Right? I'll say it like that, right? Because like we're friends, but like you're just like anybody else that would come and has to do the work. You're here though because I think you could do it better than other people.
Yeah.
Right? This is the exact conversation I'd have, right? And so, yeah, let's go. But the expectation is you're going to be a team member. And if it doesn't work out, like we still want to be friends, right? You know? And then that's it. Like I think where the failure comes, and this is just constant for me, is like when I don't set the expectation with the other person or they don't.
Yeah.
And I don't expect anyone to anymore. And I'll just set it.
Have you ever fired a friend that was not taking it well, even when you set the expectations right?
I've been lucky enough not to.
Okay.
okay. have to deal with that because it's just there's usually a thread or it's usually just overly respectful to them.
Okay.
Even like with hires that I should have just let go earlier, I'd probably go on the overly respectful side.
Yeah.
In hindsight and now, I'd probably not be as nice about it. Nice meaning overly nice, like without discussing it. I'd just be like, hey, this is what's up and try to be more direct now. Because like, you know, what I really believe is like if somebody is not right on the team for whatever reason, culture or hustle or whatever you want to call it, there's a better team for them.
Yeah.
And they shouldn't waste their time either. And like at this point, like I'd rather go introduce them to somebody.
Yeah.
Right. And say, hey, look, they didn't work out on our team. Here's why we hired them. Here's what I think they're great at. And here's what I know about them. You know, they might be better at your culture, or your team.
Yeah.
Right. Or maybe I, you know, some people go into contract roles, you know, after they leave companies for a bit. Mm-hmm. That's just been a trend lately because there's just a lot of temporary work too now.
Yeah.
And so I think there's a lot of options. But for me, it's just like, yeah, I don't care who you are. Like if you're on the team and it's not working out, like let's move on.
Do you feel like if you have co-founders, you need to be friends with them? Would you say that? Or do you say being friends with your co-founders is important or is it crucial? Is it important or is it a nice to have? Or is it even bad? Like what's your thinking on that?
I don't know because like everyone has a different definition of friends.
Friend, yeah.
Right? Like I consider Neil one of my best friends, but like I don't know if he'd say that, mm-hmm. right? And it kind of doesn't matter because he's my brother-in-law. But like without him, I can't get a lot of the things I want done in life. Just straight up, right? And so just like without my wife. So I treat him like family. He's actually family, right? And so that's probably a weird one. But in general, like I think trust is more important than friendship. How about that?
I like that.
And because like in business, even in business, like that, if I can trust you, I'm good. I don't need to be your friend. And oftentimes, like someone who you think I wouldn't trust, I will. You know why? I know what to expect. They know what to expect. We know how to treat each other.
Yeah.
And my worst has been when, you know, like I've had friends that have in some form or another done something that has hurt me in business. But like at the end of the day, like now I know. That's the way I look at it. And whether they're a friend or not, that's cool. And my dad gave me some of the best advice on this, which is like, look, that person, just don't talk to them about business anymore. You want to go, you know, hang out with them? Go for it. Don't talk about business with that person anymore. Now you know.
Yeah.
But like they can still be your friend. That's messed up if you don't consider them a friend, even though they did that, because they're just doing it for their own business reason.
I like that. I like the trust aspect. Trust
screwing someone out of money though, which is essentially the drawing of the line there of like, you know, they copied my features, I've known them, or they entered my market. Dude, like everyone's screwing each other out of money. Like there's not that much money out there. I'm just saying, right? So I had to internalize this because I had all the emotions around actually just a couple of years ago.
That's interesting. Yeah. One framework that I've used is trust is one really crucial thing. Yeah. And then the other one is can I respect you? So
sure.
I might not like you, but I respect you, right? Okay. So that can make a big difference.
Can you trust someone without respecting them? Can you respect someone without trusting them? I'm just not sure. And I think that's going to hit personality for me.
Yeah.
For me, if I don't respect you, it's going to be hard for me to trust
you. To trust you, yeah.
But my framework of respect might be different than other people.
No, right? I
might not agree with what you're doing, but I understand.
I do agree with that because the way that I would define who I respect is somebody that that acts congruently. Right. So
predictably aligned with their values.
Yes.
Whatever their values are, whether you agree or not. Yes.
So if somebody is the like do to others like you want to be done unto yourself, if somebody's an asshole to me in a certain way, but if I treat him the same way in that area, he's totally cool with it, I have no problem with that person.
Baby.
Like I'm like, I may choose to be around you or not, but I'm totally
respect.
Cool. I don't respect you, right?
I have people like that. Yes.
So there's people like that because I'm like, they act congruently within their value system, right?
Yeah. You know what to expect.
Yes. And not just to expect. Some people will be consistently an asshole or difficult, but you can't be the same way back to them.
No.
Right? So I can't respect you if you're like that, right? To me, my framework is...
what you dish.
You can't take what you dish, then I can't hang with you and I can't respect you. If you're like, there's people that I'm friends with that I know this person is going to be a huge asshole in my definition of the world in a specific aspect. I still love them because in that aspect, I just don't go there with them. But I know and I've tested. If I do the exact same thing to them, they're totally fine with it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, this is just the way this person works in this. And we're different. But if you can't take what you dish and if you, like, then to me, you're not congruent. Then to me, it means like you knew you were an asshole to me. It's not just who you are and what you like it's you being bad to me and not wanting other people to be like that to you, fuck you. Then I can't respect you. So to me, that makes a big difference. If people...
sociopath, psychopath status?
I don't know.
Just letting you know if you read up on all that stuff. Yeah, basically, it could be.
Yeah, and I think...
Just not understanding empathy properly.
Yeah, but also like people's interpretation of what is acceptable and what not. And some things, like I grew up with a very strong framework of what's acceptable or not and what's good behavior and bad behavior. So it was very judgmental.
Sure.
So
everyone grew up judgmental one way or another.
Right, one way or another.
Is there a judgment or someone else's?
But then
children, teenagers, like, wow. Emotions.
Yeah. Sorry. But learning to judge on a different scale, which is not do you fit into good or bad of my framework, but learning what is your framework, and then is your framework congruent in your worldview, and then I can deal with that versus no, we have the same framework, you're just being an ass to me, right?
Yep.
You wouldn't like the same behavior back. Yep. That is something I can't deal with, right? And I can't respect
you.
Well,
that makes me want to do it more to you. But
yeah.
Can you handle it? Let's go.
Yeah.
Trolling somebody.
Great. There you go. Okay, I don't know where we're going with this, but
no,
this
we're
is
good.
Just
it's
an interesting. It's
friendship,
right? So what? Let's do one more level before we wrap up this episode, which is we talk a little bit about employees, a little bit about friendship in general, employees, coworkers. Let's talk about friendship with other business owners and founders, right? You, on the one hand, you want these type of people as friends, and you probably will have some of them because there's so many interests that are aligned, so many problems that are similar. So these are people that understand you. So by default, these are the people that you're going to gravitate towards more and have more to talk about. You know, once in a while, that means that, and we talked about this, once in a while, that means that, you know, they might share some of your secret. They know other people like you, and the knowledge that you share with them, they could do something with that, right?
Totally.
Versus, like, I have friends that have nothing to do with business. Yeah. If I tell them things about my company, there's nothing they can do with it
other than
listening to me
and
giving me advice.
Sure.
But then there's other people, if I go to lunch or dinner with somebody here and tell them something very secret, they could share this with somebody I don't want them to know.
Yeah.
They could use that knowledge in some bad way. Yeah. So there's more consequence to the information I share.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that? Are you like, okay, I have lots of business friends that are founders and I'll share a lot of things with them, but to a certain degree, everything that I don't want, everything that could harm me, I'm not going
to
share.
For me, like, I'm overly respectful, not on that side, but more to my team.
Mm.
So we have a team.
Yeah.
Co-founders, there's founding team, there's stuff like that. And some people are more private than others on the team. So so I try to be reflective of the cultures, right? That's probably the simplest way I can kind of explain how I think about it when it comes to sharing information about something that I'm not the only owner in. My company owns that information, not me. And what's our policy? I don't mean policy. I mean just what's our fucking policy? For example, at Crazy Egg, we will not tell anyone our revenue, period.
Yeah.
But we have a partner who probably wouldn't appreciate that at all.
So you don't do it?
No. Yeah, and we probably wouldn't appreciate it either, to be honest. Yeah. But, like, he's probably – I respect him. Like, he's very private, and that's cool.
Yeah.
Right? And then at Quicksprout, we've entertained, you know, sharing everything and not. And that's the brand. Whenever we share everything, we're probably going to end up sharing everything. I just don't know what it's going to look like.
Yeah. Because
we got different problems to worry about, not about sharing our crap, right? Like, so, you know, so, like, I don't know. I think this is very interesting. But to me, it just goes back to the team and respecting that side of my life or those people. And that's what prevents me from sharing oftentimes. At least that's how I think about it. So I'm less worried about my friendship with the person and whether they're going to tell somebody and more about being respectful to the company as an organization. But like that's also partly like what's interesting about some of these things is like if you're a public company, all this stuff's shared. And then there's a company I'm, you know, an advisor and buffer and investor and like they share everything.
Yeah.
Right? But you can never share everything.
Yeah.
Unless someone's on the team, then they don't even know everything. So it's very interesting, this transparency thing, because I think it goes back to that. But that's where my head goes when you talk about this. I'm like, most stuff's already out there.
Yeah.
Right? And these days, even if someone knows your little business's revenue, it doesn't mean anything.
No.
Because most of the stuff can be figured out from the outside. Right? So
I love it. We had an episode on transparency, I think.
Yeah.
And we talked about that trend and how we think about that. So I think it's a super interesting trend. All right, let's end up with some tips. And I think this is such a great topic or episode for the Facebook group and having a discussion about it. So